This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience puts you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle has blown in the game between Portugal and Ghana. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Welcome back, everyone. We just observed our second game of the day between Portugal and Ghana, a game with two very different halves. My name is Arnie Barres. I'm joined today by Pascal Zuberbühler, our goalkeeper expert, Sunday Olise, and Mr. Alberto Zaccaroni, our technical experts, and Harry Lowe, our football performance analyst. Alberto, in the first half, Portugal really dominated the ball, the play, the possession, but they did relatively little with it. What was Portugal's problem in the first half, maybe?
Il problema nel primo tempo nell'atteggiamento.
The problem they had was that Portugal came up against an opposition that were just interested in defending and seemed to block all the routes for them, and then they couldn't go vertical, so they were going sideways and all.
Con i centrocampisti spalle la porta, gli attaccanti spalle la porta.
For a team that had someone like Cancelo, they did not go deep enough. They didn't use his qualities to go all through and try to beat the team. So that was why they couldn't attack. Yeah, and tactically, the minister says that the positioning of the midfielders from the Portuguese was not really good enough because they had their backs turned to the Ghanaian goal. So when they received the ball, they couldn't directly
diagonali aperti per poter aprire dei corridoi.
Okay, great, thank you, Alberto. And Sunday, we have to admit, or we have to say also, that Ghana defended very well, didn't they?
Well, they defended very well, but the formation that Ghana chose from the onset of the game and the way they animated it automatically constrained them to a defensive shape that was not only deep but also very compact, and they couldn't come out. They came out with a 5-3-2 system. The reason why they came out of it was that, let's not deceive ourselves, the opposition had one of the greatest players that's ever played soccer, Ronaldo. We know his potency when he goes up to head the ball. So they were just trying to play up a five-man defense that would stop pullouts coming in into the section, and at the same time blocking the middle of it. So that was why they were able to defend well.
And earlier today, we also watched Cameroon, and if we compare how the two teams defended, we find some differences, don't we?
Yeah, the very big difference is that both teams came compact without the ball, but the Cameroonians, when they came compact, unlike the Ghanaians, did not go directly. You know, the spaces were not really well positioned, and they were not really positioned in a triangular form, and they did not defend in anticipation. Whereas the people we saw yesterday come up against, who played for Ghana, they were in the midfield. Each time they didn't have the ball, they were positioned that once a Portuguese player was played, they could just directly anticipate and make a pressure on it. And that was the difference.
And just to conclude our analysis of the first half, maybe, something I felt that Portugal did really, really well was their counter-pressing. As soon as they lost the ball, they were all over Ghana. They protected their attacks very, very well. And maybe from the perspective of Ghana, why was it so difficult to get out of the press, or could they potentially have something different?
Well, I think the way they set, like I said earlier, the way they set up themselves to play, the setup and the way they animated it, they couldn't go out. They were always late to balls because when offensively, they were late to the balls, because they were positioned in a way that kept them wide, deep, and back. You know, if you have to go 70 meters each time you win the ball back and 70 meters back, at the end of the day, you do it once and you say, okay.
Just looking at some of the metrics that we have, the words of, you know, both Alberto and Sunday are reflected in two of the metrics. So possession control, we saw in the first half that Portugal had 62% of possession. So Alberto mentioned how Portugal started with much dominance and look to control the ball. And Sunday, then you mentioned as well how Ghana looked to set up in a defensive structure, so in a mid block or went to a low block, that was reflected in the phases of play. So Ghana's mid block, their percentage of their out of possession percentage for mid block was 28% in the first half.
What we also looked at from the metrics was during the game we looked at their team shape. And Portugal essentially played a 4-3-3, and in possession they pushed up their fullbacks, but everybody else was in the central channel. They were very compacted all the time in the game, and this is something that probably helped them also to in their counter pressing, and that was also very clear from the picture we've seen from the data. Moving on to the second half, it was a very different game, Alberto. What's your analysis of the second half, and what changed the game?
Secondo tempo è stato sicuramente.
Well, Mister says that in the second half. For those who are unaware, I call him Mister because he's one of the greatest trainers, coaches to coach in Italy. Well, Mister says that in the second half that the Portuguese came up with a more offensive approach. They tried to go quicker forward, and they tried to like force the game out, and eventually that led to an open game. And for those who were watching, as spectators like us, it became very interesting to watch because it was end-to-end stuff, and goals started coming in after that.
Nessuna delle due squadre rispettava più il copione.
Okay, yeah, indeed, it was spectacular for us as spectators. We just mentioned how well Ghana defended, and in the second half they obviously conceded three goals. What changed from their perspective, Sunday?
Well, the first half, what they did was they played five men at the back, three in the middle and two up front. Now, the five at the back were flat, and the two were at the extreme. They did not come off. They did not think of attacking. The second half started, these two on the side, obviously, became a little bit more adventurous, pushed up a bit, so they now constructed with the three men at the back, and those two were moved up front. Now, that gave an open space, and that's what the Portuguese needed. And let's look at the fact that this game needed just a goal. The moment a goal was scored, they will come out. So when Ronaldo did what he had to do and was able to get a penalty and score, this now made that Ghana had to attack. If we look at the second goal Portugal scored, it came off almost something like a counter-attack because the Ghanaians were moving up forward. The third goal also the same thing. So the game became open thanks to that. And I must say that the structure of the game, 5-3-2, they played it in the first half, totally a defensive animation. And in the second half, 5-3-2, they played it in an offensive animation, and that created the space.
Sunday, you mentioned the second goal, and I would say that was for me a little bit the killer, because I was not so happy with the positioning from the goalkeeper from Ghana, Sigi. I know him very well, and he's a very good goalkeeper. But in this situation, he should let Salisu, the defender, from Ghana, led to go in the battle with João Félix, who was then scoring. Sigi made a two offensive reaction in this moment. I would love to see him on his position and to wait what's happened if the shot is coming, because he's in this situation, shot from 5 meters away from him or 6 meters, he's fantastic. And there he was too offensive, jumping in, and gave so João Félix the chance to score easily. That was for me a little bit, maybe there they could do it better. The game together from goalkeeper and defender.
And Zubi, anything else on the goalkeeper, maybe also on Diogo Costa?
Yes, in general it was fantastic to see. We had two young goalkeepers. Diogo Costa is 23 and Sigi is 25. Normally in this tournament, in this World Cup, we see more goalkeepers over 30. And I have to say, this Diogo Costa, he was playing very high. As you mentioned before, Alberto and you, Sunday, and with the starts from Harry, you see that Portugal played very high with the defensive line, and Diogo Costa also. And he was very comfortable. He gave me a very nice, easy impress how he plays his game, and also with the feet. He's very comfortable, and I'm really looking forward to see him more often. But then was this only one situation on the end. On the end, in the last minute, oh, it was a shock moment, yeah, when he missed the player, the striker from Ghana behind his back. And he can say thanks to Williams that he was slipping in this situation and didn't score, because if he would concede this goal, it would be a disaster for Portugal.
If I may ask something, Zubi, because there was you mentioned the age of the goalkeeper. That shocked me. I remember you said he was very young, but I don't want to give the wrong figures. So
yes, you're right. It's now we have really, in this game, we had really very young goalkeepers, but in general, the goalkeepers are over 30 years old here. And yeah, it's interesting to see. And what is fantastic to see, of course, is with Diego Costa, 23 years old, how calm he plays. He's really calm. He's really
in the World Cup,
intelligent, and he plays a World Cup. Yeah, exactly this. And that's why I'm looking forward to see more good skills from him.
Great. Thank you all. Thank you, Alberto. Thank you, Sunday, Zubi and Harry, for your insights, and everyone else, of course, for listening. We wish you all a good evening, and please join us again as we will continue our analysis of the FIFA World Cup and also try to start identifying some of the key topics and themes that come through during the tournament. Have a good night.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.